Good Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk. We're live at Tiffany Jones Realty right here on Wayne Road. Appreciate everyone tuning in on a beautiful Saturday morning. Should be a great weekend after a hurricane come through yesterday and blew a bunch of stuff over. I didn't have power for 5 hours. I may have been the only one that didn't have power for 5 hours yesterday. Anyway, well, I wasn't the only one. It was my street. I shouldn't have said that. But should be a great Saturday to get out and do some things. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to slop it around on the turf after a while, see what I can do. But we got a lot to get to. This is a spring sports special. And I appreciate Tiffany having us up here. Her and Brad are here. They've got food over there for us and coffee. Last time we was here, they had a whole, like, 7-course meal up here. Tiffany slacked off on that deal. Told everybody to come up, have a big breakfast, cook, and where was it? But she got my favorite, though. I can't say what it is. I might have hurt a feeling. But anyway, we got a lot to get to this morning. We're going to talk basketball first with Coach Ryan Geyer as they finished their season up in Chester County, lost in round two to South Gibson in a really good game, played a really good team, and had a great season. We'll talk to him about the basketball season. Also, Coach Arendell is in. Clint's here. We're going to talk some track. Coach Matthew Smith will be in a little bit later on. We're going to talk some tennis with him, believe it or not. He's become the tennis coach. And also, spring football coming up. And then I got a couple of interviews with Coach Harville, Chad Harville, and Chuck Patton as they get ready to start their season on the 13th and the 14th. Chuck and the girls are over at South Gibson in a play day today. And then the Tigers are going to try to play. I don't know if they're going to get to or not, but they're going to try to play a baseball game out at the park. Loretta coming to town for a scrimmage, so that should be a very good, entertaining game. You get a preview of that. That's coming up this afternoon. So let's take a timeout. When we come back, Coach Ryan Geyer will join us. We'll talk a little Tiger basketball. This is Sports Talk on 93.5 FM, live on location at Tiffany Jones Realty. We'll be back right after this.
Sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be, but baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars, yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, live at Tiffany Jones Realty. It's where we are today on location. This is where our home is for the spring sports special. Looking forward to spring, most definitely. And got a lot of sports to talk about on this Saturday morning. But first, Coach Ryan Geyer steps in, and we're going to talk some Tiger basketball. And Coach had a great run, really, toward the end of the season. We'll kind of recap the season here in just a few minutes. But over at the tournament, got a win over there, got in the championship game at the district, ran into a buzzsaw with McNary, and then South Gibson, another buzzsaw. They played really well. So kind of your experience with your team in the district tournament, going two rounds deep in the region, and just kind of give us a perspective of what you learned as your first year as a coach, making it that far, and all your players and especially your seniors.
Like you talked about early on, when you have football make it as far as we do every year, you kind of get a late start. So I knew early on it would be a process that first few weeks of getting them acclimated into what we were doing. And we played a really good schedule early. And I think that showed later on in the year. When you play teams like Dyer County, Lawrence County, Loretta, Corinth, those kind of teams, it made us better. And then, you know, by the end of January, February, we were playing our best basketball. We were playing our best basketball, and you know, we went into district play. We're able to beat Lexington that first game at home, and I think that really boosted our confidence throughout the rest of the year. We were able to beat Chester and McNary both at home, beat McNary on the road, and you could just see every game we played, our confidence rose, and guys started playing, and you know, we went to the district tournament as the 2 seed. That was one of our goals, was to be wearing white. It's what we said, be a home team in the district tournament. And we were able to do that and beat Lexington in that first round and go to the championship. And then we got McNary, who we had played twice and beat twice. And it was a really good game. They played well and were able to beat us in that championship game. But, you know, we went into that region game at home. That was our second goal, play your home region game. We were able to do that. Little did we know we'd get the number one seed from their side and Jackson North side, but we knew we could compete with them. And that night was one of the most fun nights we've had in a long time at McCaleb Welch Gymnasium. So when we won that game, it was – it's just a memory they'll have forever, and especially our seniors. And it was fun, and we went into that South Gibson game with momentum, and we caught a really good team over there at Chester in South Gibson, and they just a really good basketball team. And we competed and played hard. They played better than us that night. They play 7 seniors, and they were rolling late in the year, just kind of like we were. But, you know, I thought we had a really good end of the year, and being able to win a region game for the first time in a long time and have a chance to compete in the second round was big.
Yeah, you talking about the game with Jackson North side. It was an unusual basketball game, to say the least. They had all the components. They had size, had a big guy, well, I don't know, 6'7", I guess, and had another guy that kind of reminded me of the player at Chester County that plays down low for them, kind of that size range. But anyway, I thought, well, we're going to have to really change the way we do things as far as your philosophy of what you want to do. And I thought it would be more of a running game because typically North side, they like to get up and down the floor, or they had in the past. This time they didn't do that. They play more of a traditional half-court offense, which I think that played in our favor more so because it slowed the game down, number one, and it kept the game, you know, you were looking at a game that was going to be played in the 50s maybe or 60s at the most. And it was just unusual how that game kind of unfolded. And it was one of those games where you're sitting there watching this, and I kept telling Sharp at break, I said, I just don't know if we're going to be able to catch up. We get a little bit, and then, you know, we drop back. They go on a little bit of run. But the last – 2 or 3 minutes of that game was amazing. Of course, they got the 6'7" guy. He didn't go down low when he starts a game. He starts firing threes, and they got off on a 6-0 run on us right off the bat. And it was just kind of a weird game to watch. I'm sure it was a weird game to have to coach against too.
Yeah, it was like you said. We came out, thought we had them scouted pretty well, and just from what other coaches had told me when they played. And number one, Curry for them had his career night. He's a really good player, but he had 41 against us and couldn't miss. And we tried to adjust what we did in the second half with him, but he's a good player. And I think he won district MVP over there too. But, you know, so we had to try to match with him what he was doing. But everybody else we kept in check. So we knew if we could just – hold him. I say hold him, but not allow him to. I really don't even know what to say because he was making shots with two, three guys in the paint.
Yeah, he was doing. He was doing a little bit of everything.
So just not allow him to take over the game, which in the fourth quarter we did a really good job of that, and we were able to fight back. And I knew if we could get into our half-court offense, I thought we would be really successful, and we were, especially late in the fourth quarter. And we created some havoc in the press, and, you know, it was that, like you said, those last three, 4 minutes were as exciting as I've ever seen in that gym. And we were able to go into overtime. And I knew once we got into overtime that we had a really good chance to win it just with the momentum and different things. So it was a heck of a game. He had number one for them, had a heck of a game. But we had a lot of guys step up and play in that game and make big plays. You could count everybody, just a big play here or there. And it was just fun to be a part of.
All right, let's take a timeout. We're talking with Coach Ryan Geyer, Hardin County Tiger basketball team, talking about their season. We'll take a look back at where they started, where they ended up, and expectations will be really high for next year as well, as they'll get ready to get set to start on next year. But you're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, the WKWX app. We're live at Tiffany Jones Realty. We'll be back right after this. This rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway. Restless feeling really got a hold. I started searching for a band. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell, and with you on this Saturday morning. We're live on location at Tiffany Jones Realty. We appreciate Tiffany letting us come in up here in their beautiful location on Wayne Road. If you're looking to sell your home or want to buy a home, land, whatever it is you need in the real estate market, Tiffany and her sales staff will certainly take care of you. They've been doing this a long time, so appreciate them letting us come up here and kind of taking over for just a bit. Talking with Coach Ryan Geyer, and we're talking Tiger basketball. And Ryan, a little bit about the north side game before we get into south side, and then kind of your expectations moving forward for this basketball team. But you were talking about the last couple of minutes of that game, and what I was talking about was kind of weird. I think we were down 9 or 10 at one point. You know, we're sitting up there as bringing the game to everyone broadcasting, and I said, you know, we got to get some turnovers. So, you know, something's good has to happen, and we finally got that. You got into your press. We got some turnovers. We got, I think Jackson got a turnover and got an am one. And then the next thing you know, hey, we're tied. And then you're sitting there thinking, how did we do this? Because it happened so fast.
Yeah, it did. We were down we were down 16 at one point in the second half, but with about 3 minutes left, we were down 10. And Jackson had gotten fouled. He went to the line, made both, so we're down 8. We get a stop. It was actually a stop. It was a missed free throw on a 1-1. We outlet to Jackson. He takes it coast to coast, and one, makes a free throw, cuts it to 5. We get in the press, get a steal. He gets another and one, makes a free throw. All of a sudden, it's a two-point game. And then, like you said, it happened so fast. And then we fouled. They missed a free throw. We came back down to tie it and got another stop. And they were going to let us hold for the last shot. So we took it. And anyway, weren't able to score. But we knew, worst-case scenario, we're going to overtime. So we felt good about that. But, yeah, it was such a quick run, that last 2.5, 3 minutes, and just made some great plays.
Well, that last sequence you're talking about right before overtime, we get the ball back. They decide just to, okay, we're going to let the clock run. Their fans are going crazy. You probably could hear them behind you. I'm watching them down in front. They're starting to go to the rail. They're yelling at the coach, you know, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's 39 seconds. They let it run down to 17 before they were going to let us. They were content with letting us take that last shot.
Right.
I don't understand that, though, at that time, as 39 seconds is a lifetime in that type game.
Right. You know, I looked at our assistants, and I told Coach Rob and Brandon, I said, we're going to see if they'll let us hold it. And once they did, I was content with holding it for the last shot to see when they at least picked up their pressure. And like you said, there was in between 15 and 20 seconds when he picked up. So we called timeout, drew something up. He came out and did something different defensively. They doubled Jackson off the ball, off the inbound, so we couldn't get it to him early. And anyway, we weren't able to score, but I was fine with old for the last shot.
Well, yeah. That played in our favor. I just didn't understand what he was doing at that point, unless he was banking on you were probably going to call a timeout so he could set something up. But other than that, I have no idea, because that could have been two or three possessions in that 39 seconds right there. But anyway, we appreciate him letting us stay in the game at that point. And then we go to overtime, and then the Tigers just took over at overtime. And really the last 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and then into overtime, you had a freshman that just basically took over the ball game.
He did. I think Jackson scored the last 10 points in regulation. And then when we went to overtime, I know he had at least one, if not two, assists in overtime for us to build that lead, and made clutch free throws down the stretch, but just made some plays that make the coach look good, honestly. And just every game he's played, he's just developed, and you've seen it throughout the year, and we know what he's capable of doing, and looking for big things for him over the next few years for sure.
Well, the Tigers get a big win over Northside. They headed back to Chester County and to take on South Gibson. South Gibson coming from the northern part of West Tennessee. Very good basketball team coming in. I was excited about that game. I talked with Michael Davis. He had officiated maybe one or two of their games, and he said pretty competitive matchup. They look a lot alike. And I said, well, you know, if we can do some certain things, we'll have a good shot at it. But they had a good scout on us too, I think, in that game. You know, what they weren't going to do, they weren't going to let Wheeler beat them. And then the other thing was they weren't going to let Jackson just have free reign inside. Yeah. So that changed it up to where really Caleb became real important in that game, and Tanner became real important in that game. Unfortunately, Tanner got in some foul trouble late. Caleb had a really good game in there, but they had some size, which made it difficult on one guy to try to battle like he had to.
Right. Yeah. They had us scouted well. I know Coach Runyon had watched us in the district tournament, and but they're a good team. They're all seniors. Guys that have been playing for 2-3 years, they have two kids three kids that can really score the ball. And defensively, I thought we played well enough. I mean, we held them to under 50 before we started fouling at the end, but we just couldn't convert some shots in the paint. They do a really good – they're the best defensive team we've played all year, and we knew that. And they took away Wheeler for the most part. We were trying to run stuff for him, and Caleb stepped up and had a big game. But we just couldn't score enough, really, in the third quarter. We made that run, and then they punched us right back in the mouth, and we couldn't consistently score. And that's what they do. They've won games in the 30s all year. I remember they beat a team 30-26. Like, that's just that's their style of game, and they're a good basketball team, and they were better than us on Tuesday. And but we competed and had a chance. We cut it to three. I know in the third quarter and just couldn't get over the hump.
Well, I looked at their schedule and I looked at the games that they played, and during the pregame, I told Bill, I said, they're good defensively, because you can just look at the scores of their games.
Right.
They're either good defensively or they're deficient offensively, and they were neither one because they had three guys that really could shoot the three. And they had one guy that had some size, 6'2", 6'3". He could fire. And he was kind of like that Moore kid from McNary. He'd fire from anywhere.
Yep.
Unfortunately, and his name was Moore. I said, I am sick of Moore. We've seen enough of those for two days in this tournament. But he could shoot. But, you know, it was a great season. I mean, I don't know that anybody thought, you can hope, but, you know, a lot of things happen. Coach Carpenter leaving, you're taking over your first year as a head coach. You got a relatively young team with some experience, but not a whole lot of experience. And then to make the run like you did, and it was so much fun to watch the team progress. Like you want them to, you know, kind of a rocky start, and then things kind of smooth out a little bit. Then you go through, you know, the peaks and valleys of the season, and then you get hot right at the right time.
Right. Yeah, like you said, being around those guys for three, four years, obviously they know me, but it's different. It's a different role going in, and we knew that. We had a – I knew going into the year we had a tough schedule early, and I knew that it could do one of two things. It could help us later in the year. It could tear us down. And we had a great group of kids, and we took a loss to Lawrence County that first game, and then I remember Brooks, Alabama, beating us here, and we turned back around a month later and beat them down there. And every game we lost after that point was competitive. It was like every game I felt like was going down to the wire pretty much, outside of a few. And, you know, we started – once we beat Lexington at home, that first district game is when you saw our belief in everything just be like, we can actually win the district, or we can actually do this. And, you know, we progress. Like you said, it's all about January, February. I saw multiple teams that started off 8-9-0 or 9-1 or 8-1, and then you look and they lose six of their last eight, and they're not prepared to play in district. So, you know, proud of our guys, our seniors especially. Wheeler and Caleb both were all district and all region players. They'll be extremely tough to replace next year. Garrett Smith, who played a big role for us defensively, and energy and just hustle plays and all the little stuff that people don't notice. We'll miss him. And Nathan Nesbitt, same way. We had four of the best kids you could ever ask for. I'll miss them all tremendously next year. But we've got some guys coming back that played a lot this year, that played a lot of minutes. Some younger guys that I know will have opportunity to step up next year. And so we're looking forward to it. But it'll be tough to replace those seniors. We'll miss them. And just proud of what they did and help us, like you said, achieve something that nobody probably thought we would. And, you know, that's why you play, and that's why you coach. But looking forward to next year too. And we'll talk more about that, I know, later on and into the fall. And but we've got some guys coming back for sure, so we're excited about it. We'll start our off-season programs. We're supposed to give them a certain amount of time off, so we'll allow that. And then really after spring break, hit it running. Coach Smith allows us to work out and do things with them too in football, so we've got a good program there. He allows us to do that, and it's very beneficial. So good season. Gonna miss those guys. It was really fun and exciting, and looking forward to next year too.
Well, you set the bar high now, so
yeah.
There you go, your first year. So you messed up. You're supposed to kind of, you know, you got to do it a step at a time. You can't do it all at one time,
right.
You know.
Right.
But, yeah, like you said, it was a great season. I had a lot of fun doing it and you know, excited about going to the gym and watching these boys play. And I knew they were going to give it everything they had. And just sometimes you just run into a team that's that on that particular night, they're a better team than you are, and that happens in sports. The Chester County Eagles ended up beating Southside. South Gibson, you surprised about that outcome? Or
we went over and watched it. It doesn't surprise me just because Chester athletically can match up, especially inside, and they were able to do that. And South Gibson, some of those easy buckets – I say easy, but some of those buckets they were able to get against us on Tuesday, they couldn't get. And they didn't really shoot it well till the third and fourth quarter. But Chester, that was the best I've seen them play all year, and I've seen them quite a few times. But, you know, they play each other 10 times. They probably go 5-5. I mean, they're it's that even. But and Chester playing at home, that crowd was played a huge factor in that game. So, you know, congrats to them. I think they'll play Murfreesboro Central Magnet on Monday to go to the state tournament, and then South Gibson will travel to Martin Luther King in Nashville. But two really good teams. I think that
either one got a chance to come out.
I think Chester will have a chance at home. Both of those teams are really good, but like I say, you never know. It's basketball, so you never know what can happen. But I think that our draw playing Northside and South Gibson, they were the two best teams in the district. And then, you know, Chester, I think we were right there in that group with them. So credit to them. But anyway, they'll have a chance to move on, and it'll be fun to see if they do. But they've got everybody coming back, so that's the downfall.
Well, also, we've got Northside and Southside heading into the district too, right. So that's going to make it a little bit tougher.
Right.
So, but, Ryan, I appreciate you coming in each Saturday morning and talking about basketball, and congratulations on your first season. A lot of success, and also to the seniors. They went out on a high note and gave the Tiger fans a lot of thrill throughout the season, especially come tournament time and at the end of the season. So outstanding job. You know, we'll look forward to next year. It won't be long. We'll be sitting right here talking about basketball season again. It comes around real quick.
It does. So, looking forward to it. But I appreciate what you guys do and follow us all year. And hopefully we can have another good one next year.
When y'all do that schedule, can you get a little bit more home games?
They're working on it, and it'll be it'll be planned out better.
Okay. Because, you know, I don't think we've been at home very much for the month of January anyway. In February, it seemed like we were on the road all the time. But anyway, appreciate you coming in, and congratulations again. That's Coach Ryan Geyer of the Hardin County Tigers. Coming up, we'll talk some spring sports. We'll talk to Clint Arendel and track season getting started. Also, Matthew Smith will be in. He's excited about talking about tennis, and then we'll talk a little spring football as well. And then we've got a couple of interviews with Coach Harville and Coach Patton as Hardin County baseball and Hardin County softball gets ready to start their season. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk Live from Tiffany Jones Realty. Is it Realty or Realty? Do what? Realty. I used to say it wrong because my reality. I used to say it wrong. Stacy would get mad at me. She said, "You're not saying that right. It's Realty." Yeah. Yeah, Realty.
Realty.
I was saying it right the whole time. Let's bring in Coach Clint Arendel, wearing many hats over there. Not only football, of course, you might want to hang around and see what Matthew says about spring sports. I don't know if he's kept you up to date or not. But right now we need to talk about track. And you've been the track coach for a couple of years. And, you know, track has become a thing now at Hardin County High School, where we kind of got it started back. But now that y'all have got a lot of your athletes involved now, not only just football, but all the athletes and boys and girls. And the only thing is, you're the only coach without a home.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. And it's great seeing all the young students that we have out there that wants to be a part of it and want to play. Just looking at the roster here, over half, either play basketball, football, or, you know, they run cross country. So, being able to get those student athletes out there and compete and, just make us more athletic is a great thing. And that's right. Our sectionals, we went through an issue there. Because we didn't have anywhere to run. Last year we went to we had a couple guys that made it into the sectionals throwing the shot put, and we had to go all the way to Memphis to compete, and we competed with the 3A teams. And so this year we're just going to do the 2A teams separate, and nobody in rural West Tennessee or our size has the tracks to be able to do that. So we're going to have to borrow USJ's and use theirs, which they're, appreciate them letting us do that, or we wouldn't have anywhere to run.
Well, speaking of the track, I mean, what do you have to be able to host meets? Do you have to have a particular type of surface or
you have to have that surface. It's real spongy, at least 8 lanes. To be able to run. If not, you can be there, all night. If you got 4 or 5 lanes, you start at 3:30, you're not going to finish until, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning getting all the events in.
Seems like the athletic director's over here. We could get that done.
Hey, absolutely. Yeah. We're all for it, getting a new track.
Yeah.
Be able to host, make a little money.
Yeah, exactly. But tell us a little bit about your team and number one and number two. I know there's a lot of football guys that are involved in this, and that's probably helped them on the football side as well, but also keeping them in shape and doing different things.
Absolutely. We returned some folks back from last year's team, Mia Shirley and Ashton Davis on the girls' side. Mia was just a second or two off from making it in qualifying for the sectionals last year in the 200. So I anticipate her going on and shaving some of those seconds down. Ashton Davis, another one, just came out of basketball. She's going to run the 100, and she can absolutely roll. So I think, she'll be able to qualify as well. The newcomers that we have are Ainsley Pickett. She's going to come out and run. She's probably going to run the 200, 400, and compete in that. And now long distance, our Lauren Carpenter and Cheyenne Wimpern are going to compete as well. And I think they sent out the qualifying stats for us the other day. And we had a little test day the other day. And I believe that we'll be able to compete and qualify and get a chance to go to the state tournament with the girls.
Well, I'm glad Ainsley's not built like her daddy, that's for sure. She couldn't run across the road. he's my neighbor. I'd say that.
You can say that about him.
I hope he's listening.
And being able to get some of those football guys out, like Dace Cummins and Jack Gray and Cam Heyman. Ty Lynn's returning. He's going to run in the 100 as well. But getting those guys out to run and to sprint, I saw a deal the other day. Actually, Coach West sent it to me that, a lot of these scouts now are looking, they're not looking at 40 times, they're looking at track times. And it's pretty amazing to see these guys run and kind of the times that they need to make. And it does keep them in shape. They're running, and it's almost sprinting a mile a day, when you add it all up. Being able to get them, the big guys out there, there's a place for them in track as well. Adam Harris and Raymond Poirier, they competed in the sectionals last year at Bolton and Bartlett. And they were just, less than a foot off from going to the state tournament last year in the shot put. So I think they'll be able to have a good chance of making it.
Well, I know you get to go around and see a lot of teams track at some schools is a really big deal. And What kind of athletes around West Tennessee do you get to see, like especially in, what is it, the 100 and some of those type things where they're running?
In the 100, I know a couple of years ago, there was a young man, Giovanni. I just remember Giovanni from Dyersburg, and he was running the 200. He ended up winning the state in the 200, and him and Caden ran against each other over there at USJ one day. And Caden can float, you know, Caden can run. I mean, he's a wide receiver in the SEC right now. And he outran Caden. It was a few steps. And, it, you know, being able to see that is pretty amazing. There was a kid last year from Chester County. He was running sub 5 miles. That's an event that they have in the 1600. And he was running like 445, 450 mile. And it is just – It's pretty amazing to be able to see, you know, people do that.
Yeah, you just wonder, you know, why or what in their body makeup that can make them do that. You know, I talked to Hunter DeBerry last night, and I wish we had track when Hunter was here.
Right.
And Sam, too, when he was here. But Hunter ran some track over at Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to his dad one day, and he said, Hunter's running track. And I said, well, he'll do good in that. Hunter was probably a 4.3 guy in a 40, every bit of it. May have been under 4.3.
Right.
But anyway, I think they run 100 meters, which is basically 110 yards. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And he was running that under 10.
Yeah, if he's running that under 10, that's Olympic speed.
Yeah, just a little bit right at 10, mm-hmm. 10, and a little bit under 10.
Yeah. I know Justice Bishop right now, he's at Bethel right now, and he's got one of the top 10, one of the top five 100-meter run for Bethel right now. He's up there doing really well in that.
So what do you do as far as what is your training like, and what do y'all have to do? Is it like, okay, y'all you can't just say y'all go out there and run.
Right.
But, you know, there's got to be some kind of level of training that goes.
Absolutely. We run repeats, or what we call them repeats, to where I set a goal for them. Hey, you got to make a lap in 2 minutes, and then I'll give them a 30-second blow, and then they have to make another lap in a minute 45. Give them a 30-second blow. They have to make, you know, another lap in a minute 30. And I keep taking that time down to where it just pushes them a little bit, because there's a little bit, you know, of speed and endurance, as well as you got to be in shape to run. You know, I want to see how long, especially these cross-country guys, it's a little something different from them, and keeping their pace and running, you know, their 3 miles like they do in cross-country. I told them, like Jacob Castile, he's got a really good chance. He ran a 5:10 mile the other day. I said, I want to see how fast you can run a mile. I don't want to see, you know, you pace, you know, and try to keep the same pace. I want to see you go. And it takes a little training, a little bit different. We hit the weight room. So we sprint, do a long distance day, sprint again. And we'll lift 3 days a week. And then I'll give them an easy day. To kind of get their legs back underneath them for the fourth day. But I credit a lot of that. I talk to, what we do in football and sprint-wise, and also I keep in touch with a young man from Skullbone, Tennessee, and Leighton Reynolds, and he is one of those guys that's built and can run all day, and I talk to him a lot and kind of what his training is and what they do.
Skullbone, Tennessee.
Yes, sir. Well, shout out to Skullbone.
Where is Skullbone?
It's around Martin Bradford High School is up there. He's a legend around.
Skullbone, Tennessee. Well, the track schedule starts on March the 30th. You've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 events scheduled,
yes,
all at USJ.
Yes, sir.
And I assume that – track is kind of like they do in the Olympics and all. You got a bunch of teams that come in. You got events going on everywhere.
Absolutely. I know at one of their bigger events last year, there were over 20 teams there from West Tennessee. I bet there were, I wouldn't even want to guess, there were 500 kids there, you know. And so you have to be halfway organized, because while I'm watching somebody run the mile or the 1600, they're checking in for the 400 and making sure that they're loose, and while discus and shots throwing at the same time, and it's So we have a practice day, you know, before we go over there to make sure this is when you need to get warmed up. It's when you need to check in, make sure you're on time, have your blocks with you and, you know, ready to go when it's your time to go.
A lot of prep work.
It is. It is. And, you know, I'm learning as I go. And it's but it's a really neat experience being able to see, you know, guys and girls going over there and competing against one another and, you know, running and competing in relays. And it's really exciting. And, you know, a lot of personal records are involved. You know, hey, I ran a 6-minute mile and they might have run a 5:50 mile. And then seeing the kids really excited about that, you know, and my competitive juices get flowing. And I was like, let's go win one. You know, let's go win an event. And that side comes out in me too, but it's great. Like I said, I enjoy it.
Yeah. I remember a long time ago, they used to have little meets. They get all the city schools and county schools together and you'd have a little track meet track at meets. The high school.
We need to get back in there.
Yeah. They used to do that all the time where, they got kids involved and you had a track and field day where everybody came together. And you did basically the same thing that y'all were doing. You had relays and distance and a lot of things going out in the field. And just bring all these young kids in and get them introduced to track and field.
Right. And it's neat, you know, seeing people that, you know, can go out that don't play football or basketball, but they can go out and they can run, you know, and seeing students get an opportunity to go out and compete and, you know, wear the HC on their chest. And it makes it exciting when they go out and they're successful at it, you know. And that's we were talking about, you know, coaching, and it's not about the money and it's not about the bucks. And Coach Guyer and Coach Smith can, you know, reiterate this, but it's about seeing, you know, kids be successful and seeing them excited about being successful is what makes it.
Well, I'm trying to get y'all all the money you can. Every time y'all win a bunch of stuff, I make sure that y'all need raises. But I don't know that it's – it may be falling on deaf ears. But there's a lot that goes into it. Just like what you're talking about where y'all have to go on the road all the time.
Right.
I mean, it you don't have a home schedule. You got to go to Jackson. So there's a lot of dedication involved in that on your part. And do you have any assistants that help you as well? So you're over there doing it and trying to.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you need more money.
Anyway. I'm all for it. Yeah.
But anyway, I appreciate you coming in each and every year when we do this spring sports special. And it sounds like track and field is starting to build a little momentum.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate our sponsors and, you know, what they do and, you know, the money and time that they give and especially the kids and the time that they put in. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a fun thing to be around, a fun thing to be a part of.
That's Clint Arendell, the head coach of Hardin County High School Track and Field. They start on the 30th over at USJ, and they'll be over there. They've got 5 or 6 events over at USJ, so if you want to be a part of that or go and see it, make a little trip over to Jackson and watch these young athletes compete in track and field. It starts on the 30th. When we come back, Coach Matthew Smith will step in, and we're going to talk a little tennis with Coach Matthew, the new tennis coach, for right now anyway, temporary. And also spring football just right around the corner. You're listening to Sports Talk live here at Tiffany Jones Realty. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, and the WKWX app, our spring sports special. I'm Steve Cornell in with you as I am every Saturday. We're live on location at Tiffany Jones Realty right here on Wayne Road. And if you're looking to buy, sell, or real estate, looking for somewhere to hunt, looking for a farm, looking for a new house, want to sell your house? Tiffany is the place to come to. She's got a great staff here with a lot of experience in how to get your house sold or how to get a house bought or whatever it is you need. They can get you through the process for sure. Let's bring in Coach Matthew Smith. And Coach, we're usually talking football. We're going to talk tennis first.
All righty.
So you are the interim tennis coach at the moment, and you've gone out and got some help from an old tennis coach And when I say old, I mean O-L-D, old tennis coach, but an experienced tennis coach.
Man with a lot of knowledge about tennis.
Man with a lot of knowledge. Listen, we go to a lot of basketball games and travel, and I know how much knowledge he has. So I'll just leave it at that. He said, I'm kind of back in tennis now. So
he is.
I said, you'll be a good one.
He's done a really good job for us. Been back. Coach Sheets, who is our tennis coach, had a baby over the December holidays, and she's out on maternity leave, and she's going to be coming back. So I've just kind of filled in through the first part of practice here and had to get a little help out there. And Coach Sharp has been gracious enough to come out and volunteer his time. And, of course, he was our tennis coach for years and years at the high school. And I had some really good players, good teams over those years, and certainly have appreciated his help out there.
Did you have to Google how to be a tennis coach?
I have looked up a few drills, but I played tennis in high school.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, so you have experience.
I do, and I was on the tennis team in high school and played, won a district championship in tennis.
Well, look at you.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, but it's been, you know.
It's been a while.
25-plus years since I've played. Actually played a little bit the other day and did not play well. Didn't throw a racket either. So
they say everything's like riding a bicycle. It just takes a minute to get back in it.
It takes a good minute.
Well, you know, I'm sure as athletic director, when you got the news that your tennis coach was fixing to have a baby and y'all need a coach real quick, did you know that was going to be you, or you just said, okay, I'll do it and see if I can find some help?
Well, that's, you know, kind of part of the role of athletic director to fill in when needed, and was able to do that. And, of course, you know, we get our football team at 1:30, so we're 1:30 to 3 with them during the off season, and tennis is after school. So get over there about 3:15, and we'll go to 4:30 with them. So it's worked out well. But certainly we'll be glad Coach Sheets gets back and rolling with it. She's done a good job with the program in the time that she's had it.
Looking at the schedule starts a couple of weeks on the 13th, and then it goes all the way through the end of August. You have regionals and a district schedule.
April, right?
What did I say, August?
You said August.
Oh, April.
I fix that. I don't think it goes that long.
Heck, a while ago, I didn't even know where I was at. Now I don't even know what month it is anymore. So that coffee's kicking in. But quite the schedule, and you know the tennis team has had a lot of success. You know, we're talking about Bill, a lot to joke around with Bill, but he's been to the state tournament a couple of times and has won some district championships, regions, and you know he's talked to me about really the importance of putting certain kids together in your doubles match and who can play singles, and there's a lot that goes on. Now, he said the fortunate thing about it, you've got to play your way onto the court. It's kind of like golf, you know. Golf season, you play your way, y'all go out and play, and then the top four or five. He said that part works out good from a coaching standpoint, but you still got to be able to kind of line people up, especially when it comes to doubles.
You do. There's a lot of strategy goes into it, and you know, it may not always be one and two playing together. It's people that work well together because, you know, in doubles, it's more of a team aspect to it. And you have to kind of play off each other, play well together. And, you know, I've enjoyed it being out there with those kids. I don't get to see those kids as much, but they've been really competitive. They worked really hard. We've got some good players on the team, both boys and girls. So, I'm looking forward to watching them compete here in a couple of weeks.
How many typically come out for tennis, I mean, on either side?
I think we've got eight boys on the team total. Of course, you know, the top five, maybe six, depending on what the other team wants to play, will play in a match. And we'll kind of roll that around. Then we're up around 12 girls. Of course, you know, several years back we added soccer for boys in the spring, so that's taken some away from the tennis team. So that's kind of our numbers and what we're looking at right now this year.
Well, I know you'll be successful at whatever, and I know we've probably got a district championship coming around the corner.
You know, I don't know about that. Coach Sheets will be back by that time.
You keep saying she's coming back.
Yeah, she is.
You call her every day and say, when are you coming back?
There you go.
You ready to come back? But I know it's an exciting time, and should have got Bill up here to talk about tennis, but I didn't know how much time I had. He likes a microphone for sure.
There you go.
But being as an athletic director, before we get into I want to talk a little bit about spring football coming up. I mean, this is a busy time for you as an athletic director. You got a lot of events going on at one time. Of course, baseball season starting on the 13th, as well as, let's see, softball starting on the 14th. And then you've got soccer, like you said, in the spring. You got track going on. Tennis, there's a lot of things going on around Hardin County High School in the spring.
Well, there certainly is. I mean, you know, it just kind of rolls through the year. You get done with fall sports, get into the winter sports, you know, just finished up the basketball seasons. Bowling finishes up. We go up there, you know, our bowling team's won two state championships again this year. And we've had a lot of things with them after got to go. Senator Wally recognized them on the Senate floor up there, so got to go and experience that. It was a great experience. The first time I'd been inside the Capitol, so it was really neat to do that with them. And, you know, just finishing up winter sports, and we'll get right into spring sports coming up here in the next, you know, week or two. And we've got five of those going on, so certainly is. But exciting times to see all these student-athletes get out and compete, and you know, pleased with the way our coaches work together and how hard they work them, and looking forward to our spring season.
All right, Matthew, before you get out of here, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll talk a little spring football. We're talking with Coach Matthew Smith. We're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, live and on location at Tiffany Jones Realty right here on Wayne Road. Appreciate Tiffany and Brad. I don't know how much Brad had to do with it, but appreciate Tiffany letting us come upstairs in their suite. Had a biscuit, sausage, drinks.
Somebody's got to keep the couch warm. Brad's doing that.
Brad's doing that. And he's also, he has burned a trail over here to this biscuit basket. So, that's for sure. I think he's asleep.
Resting.
Yeah, he's resting. He's had a hard week, I'm sure. Talking with Coach Matthew Smith. This is our spring sports special on this Saturday morning. Beautiful Saturday morning outside. I think I'm fixing to go hit a golf ball. It may plug a little bit.
Might be a little wet. Tomorrow will be real nice.
I don't think it can be any wetter than it was last week, though. Maybe the wind blew it off. But speaking of golf and football, you've got a tournament coming up, a fundraiser for your football program.
Yeah, it's you know, our big spring fundraiser, and this tournament, I think it's the fourth year that we've done it, and it's grown and grown each year. I think last year we had 22 foursomes play in the tournament, which it's a great day. You know, we're going to feed you breakfast. Everybody's going to get something, shirt, hat, something for playing in the tournament. But it's April the 15th. It's the Big Maroon Golf Tournament. We got flyers that will be posted and around town and on social media and stuff that will be out soon. But it's on that Saturday. Breakfast will be at 8 o'clock. It's at Shiloh Golf Course, and then we'll tee off at 9. It's $300 for a foursome, and then $100 if you want to do a whole sponsorship. But encourage anybody that likes to play and come out and talk a little Tiger football, and just a good day at the golf course.
Yeah, that thing has grown and grown. Like I said, and great door prizes. I think you set me up last year. I got a hat that fit on a 4-year-old. But
well,
you know. I mean, I put it on. I got a big old noggin up here, and that thing looked like a beanie.
We didn't know quite how big your head was.
So. But anyway, it was a good gift for somebody else. Brand new hat, man. Go. Good fitted hat. I was excited about it, and I put that thing on, and
boom, didn't fit.
Boom. I think I covered the crown.
There you go.
But let's talk a little bit about spring football. I know it's right around the corner. We had talked earlier at some of the basketball games, and I was asking you when you thought you were going to get going, and I think it's pretty soon, correct?
Yeah, we're going to try to get – we got 2 weeks before spring break. We're going to try to get 4 practices in before spring break. 2 of those will have to be in shorts. They call it the introductory or acclimation period. So, and then we'll try to get 2 in pads in before spring break. Then we'll come back after spring break and finish up the rest of our practice. We'll have 8 practices left. We kind of try to do it like colleges do it, where we're not out there 5 days a week. 3 days a week we'll be on the field. We'll get to still lift and watch film with them, correct mistakes, and hopefully can find a scrimmage at the end of it. We talked to Peabody. Don't know if that's going to be able to work out. It's hard to find because you can go anywhere from January to May with this. A lot of people go late. Some people go early. It's just kind of when you want to go. We usually don't get our baseball players back, so we wait till after basketball season is over with and then get those guys back in the fold and usually try to get out there and get started with it.
Well, you got some changes too coming in August. The schedule's changed quite a bit. We lost some teams. Milan USJ will be off the schedule. I think we're bringing in a couple of more as far as the district part of it. So you really had to scramble this off season.
Well, it was scheduling is one of the worst things to me in football, because it's you get your district schedule. Of course, that's regulated. TWSWA set the districts, and that changed in and of itself. We lost, I think, McNary and Liberty out of the district, picked up Northside and South Gibson. So the district got a little tougher with those teams coming into it. But then your 5 non-district games, I mean, it's just a free fall and scramble to see who you can get and who matches right up, who lines up, all that kind of stuff. So that was certainly a challenge. But we got 10 games. We're off of the 9-game deal like we were the last cycle. So we got 10 games locked in. One good thing for this coming year is we're going to have 7 home games. So 7 times at Jim Carroll Stadium, which will be good. And then the next year after that, we'll have 6 home games. So from that aspect of it, it looks really good.
Yeah. Well, as you get ready for spring practice, of course, as always, a lot of holes to fill as seniors move on. You had some good seniors that moved on, and now I guess you'll spend this time trying to figure out who's going to replace who, where, and when, who can do what.
Yeah, it's really, for coaches and players, it's really an evaluation period. I've been pleased with the way this team, this group, has worked in the offseason. I think we've gotten bigger, faster, stronger, which is one of the goals. I think we've improved our mental toughness a little bit. Kids have worked hard. We leave sweating every day. Exciting to see that. But certainly, one thing I love about spring football is everybody's going to get reps. When you get to the fall, some of those guys don't get as many reps as you would like to get them because you're preparing for a game that week. And this time of year, you're not. And we get to get everybody reps out there and get everybody on film and try to evaluate as many guys as we can to get them ready to see who's going to be able to play for us in the fall.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Love me some fall football for sure. And spring football right around the corner. Real quick, Latrell finishes up his career at UT. He's trying to get to the next level. Also, Caden Pope, he finished up his first year. And I know there's some exciting things for those two young men in the SEC. And of course, your son Carter has had some opportunities given to him, and he'll probably get some more opportunities as he works through the season. So, it's been pretty amazing to see the talent level at some of these sports where these kids are getting scholarships and D1 offers and things like that.
Well, we've had some very good players, and it's a very exciting time for Latrell. He went out and competed in an all-star game and did really well out there in the week of practice, and he's been in training. They're going to have their pro day in Knoxville. And, I've kind of been watching the combine stuff. He's not there in Indianapolis, but some of the guys in his position group and the times that they're having, the times that I'm seeing Latrell get are better than some of those. So I'm excited to see him in the pro day and what he puts up. And then as you mentioned, Caden finished his first year. Talked to Hudson the other day.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about it. He's been injured so much.
Well, he's back finally healthy now, and he's been in their fourth quarter program, looks to go through spring practice, and hoping that he can stay healthy and get on the field. And then, you know, it's a big offseason for us. We feel like we've got not just Carter but several kids that can have an opportunity to play college football, and those guys have been working to get – you know, as big and fast and strong as they can, and they'll be competing at camps and different things this spring. So looking forward to seeing what the next chapter brings.
Well, appreciate you coming in, Matthew, and giving us a little insight on tennis and also on spring football and some of your players. And as athletic director, you've got a busy couple of months coming up for sure.
Well, looking forward to it, and nice weather, and encourage community to get out and watch some spring sports.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll take a time out. You're listening to the Spring Sports Special right here at Tiffany Jones Realty. And had a chance to speak with Coach Chad Harville and also Coach Chuck Patton. We'll get their thoughts on baseball and on softball as their seasons get cranked up here in a couple of weeks. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We'll be back with Coach Harville. That interview is coming your way next.